Calling foreign policy to the policy promoted by Mr. Josep Borrell is a verbal excess that decontextualizes its own irrationality, not to say stupidity in the semantic sense of the term. After months of ignoring the most elementary historical reality, Mr. Borrell declared from his Brussels pulpit,
"Our prosperity was based on China and Russia, energy and market. And clearly today we have to find new ways for energy from inside the European Union as much as we can, because we should not change one dependency by another. The best energy is the one that you produce at home. And this will produce a strong restructuring of our economy."
This statement acknowledges a reality that has existed for dozens of years and was at the industrial base of the European coal and steel community, at the origin of the EU. The economic structure created by the fathers of the European coal and steel community was based on the need to have the support of the Russian gas industry for the model of post-World War II Europe, and was based on the assumption that the then Soviet Union was the strategic ally that allowed the defeat of the German army. Mr. Borrell rejected and ignored this matter when, from his post, he defended that Russian gas could be replaced by lowering the temperature of the daily shower by 1 or 2 degrees Celsius. No less absurd is the claim to replace Russian gas with North American fractal liquefied gas. Without going into the analysis of the European oil refining structure, and for the sake of clarity in the explanation, it is sufficient to analyze the following. Western Europe would need approximately 580 liquefied natural gas, LNG, carriers of large tonnage to guarantee the logistic supply line from the United States to Europe. However, at the time of Mr. Borrell's brilliant discovery, there were approximately 180 LNG carriers of these dimensions in the world, most of which were and are linked to the supply of Russian gas to Japan and China under long-term contracts. Building the required LNG carriers would take the available shipyards 10 to 15 years, which allowed the large Shanghai shipyards to have a workload of more than 12 years as a result of the delirium of this policy. The consequence of their ignorance has caused millions of European and non-Eurozone citizens to fall below the poverty line. It also provoked an economic phenomenon that has no solution in the short and medium term: the disaggregation of markets and supply lines. To understand this phenomenon, it is essential to consider that gas is a basic raw material for the chemical and heavy industry throughout the world. Mr. Borrell will go down in history as the public official who managed to close the largest number of basic factories: aluminum, steel, Portland, cement, petrochemicals, titanium, reprocessed specialty steels, to name but a few, and all of this without a generalized armed conflict and with the aim at destroying natural monopolies. The disaggregation of industrial processes alone produces effects on markets that cannot be controlled. It destroys logistics chains and the industrial structure and, as a consequence, the economy of scalable costs in any industrial system. In other words, everything from artisanal bakeries to small and medium-sized mechanical and electronic industries to any product whose costs include the price of energy are affected. One has to go back many years in history to find a similar phenomenon, which did not even occur during World War I and II. Russia possesses a natural monopoly on numerous raw materials that are by definition irreplaceable. The effect of natural monopolies is well known in classical economics since at least the 18th century, although the Romans already controlled basic raw materials with the intention of containing food price inflation and military production. In fact, the disruption of these supplies for various reasons is one of the components of their downfall as an empire. Behind Mr. Borrell's conception that it is possible to destroy natural monopolies are arrogance and racism. In the first half of the 20th century, Germany came to the same conclusion and, as a solution, implemented the racial doctrine, which, when it had militarily occupied Russia, would foster the extermination of the Slavic population and its disintegration into hundreds of small racially based nations. In its delirium, this policy aimed at doing the same with China in preparation, from Manchuria and the East China Sea, for the invasion of the United States, applying the same racial policy and the extermination of at least 300 million Chinese. Japan attempted a similar solution with its invasion of Manchuria and the massacre and extermination of millions of Chinese. This ideology that underlies the current policy of so-called Western Europe, led by Mr. Borrell and the Germanic Ms. Ursula von der Leyen, promotes confrontation with the Slavic, Central Asian, Chinese, Persian and Indian peoples, and all this is being performed from an administrative post in Brussels. No Roman emperor dared as much. This irrational obnubilation led to the descent into the hell of energy poverty of a significant part of the working and poor population of the Eurozone and other parts of the world. The war in Ukraine follows the same military scheme that General Reinhard Gehlen designed for the Slavic world and which, at the end of World War II, served to save his life in exchange for the German counterintelligence files hidden by him and the military under his command at the end of the war, which he handed over to the US government. He went on to train State Department officials and intellectual cadres of the US government in the most clandestine way. On this basis, counterintelligence policy was designed to deal with a Russian invasion of Europe. This entire megastructure was based on the use of the surplus and remnants of the German racial troops that General Gehlen organized years earlier. The so-called Gehlen organization, established prior to his accession to the intelligence direction of the Federal Republic of Germany, was the political military structure that organized the remnants of National Socialism and Fascism to promote a military vanguard to counter a hypothetical Russian invasion of Western Europe. This would make it possible to create an irregular military structure in the East, in the rear of the Slavs and Central Asian peoples. They counted on the files used by the German occupation and counterintelligence troops of the Wehrmacht and the SS, including the task groups of the Einsatzgruppen. The awareness of this reality is what led the France of de Gaulle to its empty chair policy at the NATO Council and to the decision not to integrate France into the military structure of the Atlantic Alliance. The Ukrainian national hero Stepan Bandera was nothing more than a pawn of General Gehlen's counterintelligence doctrine, a doctrine aimed at gaining access to Caucasian oil and to the raw materials of the Donbas, such as coal. Volodymyr Zelensky is today the self-proclaimed heir of Stepan Bandera and the product of a racial interpretation of Slavic history that Otto Eichmann would have approved of. The Polish Jewish councils had a similar matrix. Mr. Josep Borrell will drag in his petty history the biggest disaster of the European Union since the creation of the European Coal and Steel Community.
You have just listened to an article prepared by Gregorio Dionis, Team Niska's president, on the false paradigms at the basis of Mr. Josep Borrell's European foreign and security policy. For further information on gas, oil and electricity, as well as on the conflict in Ukraine, you can visit Ekipo Niska's related webpages. This program was produced by Radio Niskor at our studios in Belgium on May 4, 2023.